to Rough Life. Well, if you are not following the Rough Life podcast on Instagram, you need to. I'm trying really hard to be more active on there, and I put a poll up tonight asking if y'all just want the bare bones on the episode tonight and just tell you the background stories and that's it, or if you want all the tea and I tell you everything that's going on lately. It was unanimously give me all the tea with 48 votes in 3 hours, although one of those was me trying to test it out to see if it even worked. So for the other 47 of you, buckle up. If you are not following us and you would have voted just stick to the background stories, feel free to fast forward about 5 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. Y'all know I'm a talker. Okay, I won't spend too much time talking about this because I know the majority of you know what happened, but just for the people who are listeners from other states and don't foster with us, unfortunately, our animals on the last transport were in a horrible, horrible car wreck. The van was about 20 minutes from the Wolf Trap Hospital. I'm still not totally sure what happened, but I do know that the other vehicle involved was a tow truck, so it was pretty gnarly. Most of our crates were damaged or destroyed. Several animals were thrown out of their cages and loose inside the van, and devastatingly, 5 of our cats escaped when they ripped the driver's side door off, and they haven't been able to be caught yet. When I tell y'all that this is my worst nightmare, I mean, it is actually my number one full-blown worst nightmare ever. I woke up at 5:30 my time to a couple texts from Jacqueline just very briefly mentioning what was going on and that there had been a wreck. I barely had my eyes open when I read, "So there's been an accident, missing lots of cats and one puppy so far." And I was instantly wide awake after that. I had had like 4 hours of sleep, wide awake. I called Jacqueline. She explained what was going on. Dr. Burton was on her way to the hospital, so she ended up being one of the first ones on the scene. Jesse was at the hospital, so he jumped in the other transport van and flew over there just to start throwing animals from the wreckage onto the empty van. The lanes on the highway were closed down to try and catch all the animals. Our driver was rushed to the emergency room, but thankfully, miraculously, only had a broken nose. I don't know anything about the other driver or his vehicle, but he's apparently fine and didn't have to go to the hospital. Everyone ended up being accounted for except the 5 missing cats, so we had all that going on 2 weeks ago. Then the next week, so this week, I found out that the mayor, where I live here in Alabama, told our city and county shelter that they were no longer allowed to work with rescues. No animals could leave on transport to rescues, and all animals had to be adopted locally or euthanized, period. So when the shelter director took a couple puppies that were scheduled to go to rescue that day or possibly the next day and sent them as planned, he put her on administrative leave and threatened to fire her. And that is when we all lost our ever-loving minds. I think he really, truly thought that a couple people at the shelter would be really mad about this, but that would be the end of it. It would all blow over. But people from all over, especially in our very own town, were livid, threatening to literally burn the town down over this. And I was one of them. I was ready to set stuff on fire before I even knew the director was in the process of being fired. And I do understand his reasoning. I get it. He said that a quote-unquote disgruntled volunteer came to him very upset that she couldn't adopt a super cute puppy from a litter of 10 because that whole litter was going to a rescue. And that isn't fair. I get that. I really do. If you want to adopt a puppy from your shelter, it's really frustrating that you're not allowed to. But you also don't understand the way that it all works. And you probably don't understand that animals down here are not treated well. What you think is treated well is like horribly shocking to people up north. So, it absolutely looks like shelters are just out to make local people mad and send every cute and tiny puppy up north. But what people don't realize is, yeah, shelters could definitely adopt out the adorable, fluffy Merle puppy. But the other 9 in that litter that are solid black and already look like they're pit mixes will either grow up in the shelter, taking up valuable space for years that other animals could use, or they'll be euthanized before they even lose their baby teeth. You can adopt out a puppy to someone down here who will absolutely love and adore it until it's a rowdy 6-month-old dog that's jumping all over them and chewing up the remotes, and then they're just going to tie it to a tree in their front yard and wait for it to get pregnant so they can take one of its puppies inside until it's huge and wild too, and tie it up right next to its mama. People don't understand that the Northern Rescue isn't just going to take the cute Merle. They're going to take all the black pit litter mates and the heartworm positive mama and the mange puppy that was just brought in that's contagious and the dog with the broken leg because it was run over in the parking lot. Like, you can't expect a Northern Rescue to take, for lack of a better word, your junk, but adopt out the cutest ones locally for $25, and you're not even going to spay and neuter them. You're not going to have any Northern Rescues to work with anymore if that's what you do. Anyways, that disgruntled volunteer failed to mention that she's been fostering a dog for this shelter for over a year now and refuses to adopt it because she can't afford the medication it needs to be on daily. But she also won't bring it back to the shelter for them to adopt to someone else or send to a rescue. And, like, that's fine. I get that. A dog that has to be on medication daily would be hard to adopt out and hard to get into a rescue. And I know for a fact that this shelter would rather pay for its meds and her keep it because they know it's safe and happy and being taken care of with her. But don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, they're paying for your dog's medication and you're going to go behind their back because they won't let you adopt a puppy from them that's already committed to a Northern Rescue. That's ridiculous. People also don't understand how important it is for shelters to keep their Northern partners happy. And I know as a Northern Rescue, that makes me sound really entitled. But if you're consistently telling me that you have 10 puppies, and I post those 10 puppies, and I find fosters for those 10 puppies, and I come pick them up, and you tell me, oh, we gave away the 3 cute ones. Well, or even if you just gave 3 of them away, I don't even care which ones. You just wasted so much of my time. And if that happens over and over and over, I could throw a rock in any direction and find another shelter that is begging for a Northern Rescue's help. One that will make sure if they tell me these 10 puppies are going, I am picking up those 10 puppies. So it's not just, we're not bending the rules for you, even though you're our friend and our volunteer. It's, we can't piss off the Northern Rescue because they might not work with us anymore. And then hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dogs after this won't be saved because we don't have a rescue pulling from us anymore. I have been so irritated about this all week. I even commented on a huge post about this, and I told everyone who was wanting or needing to surrender a dog or have a stray picked up to take it straight to the mayor's house. Here's his address. Dump them there, since he apparently knows of so many people just dying to adopt full-grown heartworm-positive dogs. And of course, he did this big press conference, twisting his words around, saying, I never once said that I wanted any dog anywhere to be euthanized. Of course you didn't. No one would ever say that. We would crucify you. No one's going to say that. But if you take away transports and local adoptions are almost non-existent, the only other choice is mass euthanasia. Anyways, they want me to go to a protest on Monday night. It is supposed to be a quote-unquote peaceful and silent protest. But y'all, I do not have the self-control in me to be peaceful or quiet. And I do not have the fear of getting arrested in me either. So I know I will go there and I will cause a scene. So I don't know if I'm going to go, because I don't know if Justin will let me go. Because he does have the fear of me getting arrested in him. I just cannot believe that in this day and age, in my very own town, transports are being banned and people are losing their jobs over it. That is unbelievable. In the day of our Lord, 2025, we're shutting down transports. Are you kidding me? Anyway, between the stress of the missing cats, the stress of our idiot mayor, and then my 10-month-old baby refusing to sleep at night lately, I have been running on literal fumes. I didn't get to do the podcast last night like I usually do because my slaves, volunteers, they didn't get the background stories to me until this morning. But because of that, I am able to tell y'all what happened at today's transport, and it was such a wild day. Okay, skippers, you can come back now. Oh, look at that. 10 minutes. Like I said. Today's theme is Saturday Night Live skits because it is their 50th anniversary and because our foster favorite Claire sent me the majority of these names and also told me it was the 50th anniversary. Thank you, Claire, for once again doing my job for me. Grouch is the long-lost brother to the G litter pups from the January 4th potato transport this year. If you remember that episode, the G mama and her two puppies were sent on transport, but two of the puppies had disappeared when they were 5 weeks old. Well, one mystery is solved. The neighbor contacted the owner a few weeks after transport left to tell her that one of her puppies had wandered down the hill to their house and she needed to come get it. So they had this puppy for a month or more and then just all of a sudden didn't want him anymore. But no mention of the second puppy that disappeared either, which is a bummer. But we are very thankful that this sweet boy is headed to Virginia where he's meant to be. And I would love a family reunion with his litter mates. It's Saturday night. One of our fosters messaged us and said, how hard would it be for a 12-pound little doodle terrier mix to get a spot on transport? Very friendly, 4 years old. The lady that owned her couldn't keep her for some reason, so I've had her. I had a home for her, but I don't think that they were going to get her fixed, so she's been with me for a couple months now. I know she wouldn't be hard to find a home for, but one that would fix her is another thing. And then she sent us the picture of her, and we said, yes. She is so tiny, so adorable, and our foster is so thankful that we're taking her because she can rest assured that she will be spayed, fully vetted, and live happily ever after as a member of some very lucky family. Unfrozen caveman lawyer was found wandering in the streets of a nearby town and was posted on Facebook trying to find the owner. Of course, every person who saw him was saying, well, if you don't find the owner, I'll take him, which means they liked the thought of a cute, fluffy puppy, but once he got too big, they would put him outside and tie him to a tree. So Hope jumped in and messaged the finder, and thankfully he took her up on her offer to send him with us because this sweet boy deserves the best life. King Tut was also from Facebook. The girl posting him said her grandfather has cancer, her mother has dementia, so they do not need another living thing to try to take care of. He was also very, very scared at transport today. He tried to bite me when I was attempting to pull him out of his crate, but after sitting next to him for a minute, he eventually came cowering out, crawled into my lap, and was just shaking like a leaf. So he's done fantastic down here with his fosters, so I know he'll do great up there once he settles in, but it was so sad for me to have to take him from one crate and put him into another one when I knew he just wanted me to hold him and love on him forever. So if you are fostering him, please be patient with him. He's going to be a fantastic dog. I'm just a little scared, and I need all the pictures of him so that I know he's okay. French Chef was dumped at a nearby park. By the time she was found, she was nearly frozen to death. The person who found her took her to her work and was warming her up in her office. She posted on Facebook that she found her and would be willing to foster her until she went to a rescue. And if you didn't know, that is the sweetest words ever said to us down here. We will pull just about anything if it comes with a "I'll foster until transport" promise. Evil Boss was dumped with some other puppies on a back road in another county. The finders gave away all the other puppies, but no one wanted this one, so they posted him on Facebook on a rescue page, and the foster agreed to keep him safe until transport. Ain't that special? Okay, I've never seen this skit, so I don't know if it's like, ain't that special, or like, ain't that special? I'm hoping it's the latter, because this is a really sweet dog. She was being given away because the parents of a 2-year-old daughter thought that the 2-year-old daughter needed a puppy. They soon realized that was a terrible idea, and she was allergic to the puppy, and so they posted her on Facebook as free to a good home. The puppy, not the daughter. Live from New York was found on the side of the road. An older lady brought her home and kept her on a tie out on her porch for a few weeks until she contacted us to take her. Okay, I would love to know, can you guys tell the difference between background stories that were written by Jessica with B2Cass or background stories written by Hope, our other rescue partner? Okay, I'll give you an example. This one's Jessica's. Each litter of two were found on the side of the road in the rain. That's it. That's all she gives me. Are you kidding me? The R litter of two are from another rescue partner. They reached out to us and asked if we could help with a litter of two puppies that had been found. She recently had Parvo at her house and she couldn't keep them there. So she found a foster, took them to the vet, and we were very glad to help out a fellow rescue down here who is in the trenches with us. The M litter of eight are from our Alabama shelter friends. They got a call about a pack of wild dogs out in the county that were causing trouble, and by trouble, they meant tearing up garbage. The owner was a man who had a few dogs and was in an accident that left him paralyzed. His elderly mother was left to take care of him and, of course, his animals, which quickly multiplied. All of the dogs are feral and cannot be touched. They had to trap all eight of these puppies because they were so wild. They said there's still at least 10 other feral dogs left at this house that are just roaming loose. The shelter does have a TNR program, so the plan right now is they're working to catch and spay and neuter all of them and just return them because they're so feral. The T litter of three are from one of our rescue partners, Tasha. Tasha and I have worked together for years, but we mainly always communicated through Hope because it was just easier and we never directly communicated with each other. But she is quickly becoming one of my favorite people. So a couple of years ago, we were literally almost done loading up the transport van when Ollie, my dog, chased a mouse underneath the van. Either Ollie bit the wire or the mouse did, but somehow the gas line was punctured and gas was spewing out everywhere. There was zero chance we could drive the van even a few feet away from where it was parked next to my bedroom window, let alone all the way to Knoxville. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we called Tasha, and she runs a funeral home, a couple towns owner, over, and they have a cargo van just like ours that they use to haul flowers around in. It wasn't 30 minutes later, despite her living 45 minutes away, before she came flying over my hill, pulling into my driveway on two wheels. We had already gotten everyone off of the about to explode any minute van and quickly threw them all into Tasha's van. My driver sped the whole way to Knoxville and we didn't even end up being late at the transfer. Oh, and so she runs this funeral home. This is what made me really like her. One time, we were loading a ridiculously heavy dog together into a crate, and I'm huffing and puffing, and I said, whoa, he is really heavy. And Tasha looked at me straight in the eyes, completely serious, and said, ain't heavier than a dead body. Who says that? But I mean, like, she, she has to move dead bodies around all the time. But it just made me cackle. She was so serious. She's so funny. Anyways, that's Tasha. I figured I should introduce you guys to Tasha after all these episodes. But these are her babies. So she said, Four puppies that were 2 weeks old were found dumped behind a local restaurant in 20-degree weather. One had already frozen to death by the time we got the call. She got called to try to find help, and she could hear them screaming in the background on the phone. They were starving, they were cold, so she went running around to get supplies to bottle feed them and get their temperature up, and she is so thankful that these three survivors pulled through. Me too, Tasha. The D litter of six were posted on Facebook. They had just been born, and a responsible neighbor was trying to find a rescue to commit to the puppies when they were old enough to leave the mama. When she found out that not only would we take all of the puppies, but we would give her a spay voucher for the neighbor's mama dog, she said she would personally make sure these puppies were taken care of until transport and make sure that the mama got spayed. The P litter of five are from Hope's mom. A few weeks ago, Hope's stepdad called her in a panic early one morning as he was leaving for work. He and Hope's mom have a very long driveway up to their house, and someone had dropped this litter of five scruffy puppies off. He's a lawyer, and he was on his way to court, and Hope was on her way to an early morning doctor appointment. So she called her mom and begged her to just please go to the end of her driveway and get them before they all got run over. Hope promised her that she would find a foster, but she knew once she got them back to the house, she would let them stay. And of course, she was happy to take care of them until transport. The S litter of six were posted on Facebook, and everybody and their mama was tagged multiple times to get these puppies. There were two fluffy puppies posted. Before any of us could respond, 100 other people were begging for them, including several other rescues. So we all just figured we were too late to get them. They had been brought into one of the local groomers, who's also a breeder, and the lady was asking her to help her find homes for them. But as soon as Hope messaged her, she responded and told her that the two that were posted were going to a wonderful home that she knew, and they would absolutely be spayed and neutered. But then she said, there's six more of them that you can have. Hope said, we'll take them, sight unseen. Next thing I know, she sent me a picture of a tub full of fluffer balls as she was already on her way to go pick them up. The mom is a registered golden retriever, and the dad is the neighbor's Great Pyrenees. They told us that he's an Eskimo Spitz, but when we asked for a picture, they sent us a picture of a purebred, huge Great Pyrenees. The C litter of 11 are owner surrenders. She has like 40 dogs because she's quote unquote in rescue. No, she's not. And was shocked when one of them got pregnant. That's another one of Jessica's stories. But this lady also has another pregnant mom, and we are crossing our fingers that we can get her sent on transport soon before she has puppies down here. On to the cats, and oh boy, what a catastrophe that was. The B family was supposed to be a mama cat and 3 8-week-old kittens. A stray cat had kittens in someone's boat shed, and they messaged us this week to take them. Jessica actually texted me last night and said, I'm curious to see what kind of people these are when they show up tomorrow. Will we look at them and think, you have a boat shed? Well, we absolutely did. The husband showed up with one of these like soft mesh cat carriers with all four cats inside. Cats. These kittens, these 8-week-old kittens are probably like 4 months old. So he gets out of his super loud, super huge truck and goes, oh, no, these are super chill cats. Unzips it just the tiniest bit. And like a can of worms, they all four come jumping out. He managed to close one of the kittens back up in the mesh bag. Jessica caught one of the kittens and threw it into our crate. But the mom and the third kitten took off. So I was following the kitten, but it ran underneath my shed and it went so far back that I couldn't reach it. So I laid there in the mud, begging it just to come a little bit closer. And I could hear the man all the way down the driveway handing the remaining kitten to Jessica and saying, all right, thanks ladies, bye. just left. But before he closed his truck door, he said, If y'all shake a bag of food, they'll probably come back. Well, I lay there a little longer, offering to sell my soul if it would just come out, because I could not deal with yet another missing cat. Jessica ran to get a bag of cat food and brought it over to me, and I sprinkled just a little bit on the ground under the shed right where I could reach. It came running to me. I grabbed it up, headed straight for the garage, because I knew we needed a minute just to snuggle and love on each other before I tossed it into the crate with its siblings. And I was also so hoping that the mom had run into the garage in the chaos just to hide, and that she would come out if she saw the baby, but no luck. We did tell all of our neighbors, and it's a very cat-friendly neighborhood. The barn across the street from the doghouse has 40 cats at last count, probably more than that. And the lady takes fantastic care of them, so we're confident that she's going to turn up when things settle down tonight. She's a very friendly cat, so I really think we'll get her back in the next few days. Zingers, 3 kittens from another litter, were posted on Facebook. Hope commented, and the next thing we knew, the person was messaging us saying that the adorable kittens that we were offering to take were basically feral, but that they were working on catching them. Oh, but by the way, their mama, who is not pictured, is very, very pregnant. So we sent her to a foster down here just to keep her until we could get her on transport for a few days, so that we knew these kittens wouldn't end up feral. And in the meantime, the homeowners are trying to trap the 3 babies so that they can come up on a future transport. Opera Man showed up at an apartment in town and hung out for a few weeks before someone eventually took him in and asked us to help. He was at the doghouse for a month, and he has been the sweetest cat. We're really sad that he's leaving, because we all do like him, but he loves attention. So we're really excited that he's going to have a family. The J litter of 2 kittens came from a young kid in Oxford that was giving them away on Facebook. And that is all the stories for the animals that are on the van this week. But I do want to tell you one more story about a dog who's not on the van. And I did debate telling it, because I do need to include a trigger warning for self-harm. So this is all the stories for this episode. You can just end this now if you do not want to hear the next story. This animal is not on the van and is not coming up, so it's not a pertinent story. But it is such a sad and sweet and crazy story, and I can't stop thinking about it, and I just want y'all to know it too. So on the last transport, we had the D litter of 4 that came from the same home we pulled Homer from a few years ago. If you missed that story, you can go back and listen to it. It's on the cutesy name episode, but it's really not important to this story. While Jessica was picking those 4 puppies up, though, there was a house either next door or across the street that had burnt to the ground the night before. We found out that it was an elderly man who lived there alone with 1 dog who he loved more than anything. He took this dog everywhere he went, and he would just leave her in his truck if she wasn't allowed to go in with him. They were never apart. Well, the old man had stage 4 terminal cancer and was in a lot of pain. I don't know if he was doing treatments or if he was just sent home on pain management, but it became too much for him. And the other night, he took his dog outside, he poured a full 50-pound bag of food on the ground for her, went back inside, and set his house on fire. He unfortunately, or fortunately, if you want to look at it that way, passed away in the fire. The dog, of course, was terrified just from being outside and away from the owner, plus the fire trucks and all the commotion. She was just running from everyone like crazy, and then just ran off and hid. We were asked to take her, and are you kidding me? I would have taken a man-eating lion with a story like this. It completely broke me. So Jessica went by to pick her up the next day and couldn't even get close to her. The other neighbors, who were the ones who had asked us to take her, were out there trying to help catch her too. Apparently, they were good friends with the owner and thus thought they were good friends with this dog, but they weren't able to catch her with all the chaos either. So They said she wasn't eating. She hardly ever laid down and rested. She was always just running and pacing, and you could just tell that her world was shattered and she had no idea what to do anymore. Jessica tried for a little bit and then eventually just left because she could tell she was just stressing her out even more. Everybody else left or just went inside their house too, except the man from next door. He sat out there with her for hours, just waiting silently for her to come up to him. And when she did, he put her leash on her and he brought her into his house with his wife. The dog walked in, immediately started eating the food that they had put out for her, and then curled up in a ball and fell asleep for hours. For hours and hours she slept. So the wife called to tell us that they had caught her, but then said, yeah, there's no way we can give her to you now, though. She's staying with us for good. We are going to make sure she goes everywhere she can with us for the rest of her life. And y'all know, I hate local adoptions. I want to get every dog out of here as fast as possible. But this one, I'll allow this one. That is the sweetest and most terrible thing I've heard in a long time. And I hope so, so badly that wherever this owner is, he's whole again and pain-free and can see that his neighbors cared about him so much that they're going to make sure his dog has the best life until she comes home to him again. So now that we're all crying, I'm going to sign off on here. I love y'all so much. Thank you for the ratings, for the reviews, for the subscriptions, for caring enough to even listen to this and wanting to know what's going on down here. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.